Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. Welcome to our weekly webcast live from Canada and the UK at the same time. The wonders of technology. And of course, Barry, you've already been around the world already today, haven't you?
Yeah, I just went to South Korea and back. That's all.
This morning, just for a brief.
7 a.m. Our time here, and it was 8 p.m. and South Korea and our really dear friend's church. And so we're just doing their Wednesday night family meeting. So the wonders of technology and the internet.
Good for you. And I was in Poland last night doing a webcast. So yeah, the wonders of technology. We can be in different places at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, all you guys joining us from all around the world, which is wonderful that we have this opportunity. So thank you. Thank you once again for joining us. And those who are watching later, thank you for taking the time. So Barry, 2 weeks today. What happens, my friend?
We will see each other in person.
We will.
And it has been quite a while since that's happened. And we'll be kind of meeting in the Netherlands. Yay.
Yep.
And and my wife's coming with, and we're going to have a nice, fun time there and see some family, some that we haven't seen for a while, and maybe some people that have seen us digitally. And as our dear friend Mike says, Mike Hammond, that I can prove that I actually do have legs.
Just not a, and trousers. Not, just, not, yeah, not wearing your pajamas.
Yes, yes, my wife will make sure I that's all. I'm all squared away that way. But yeah, we're so looking forward to being with you, Mark, and not only in the Netherlands, but in Gloucester.
Well and done, I think I said Gloucester. That, right? You said it very well, Barry. Yes.
And of course, with our dear friends, Wes and Sharon, which we just love to bits as well. And that'll be great. And everybody who I've been hearing from people saying, oh, we're going to go here. I'll see you here. And so it's awesome. We can't wait.
Yeah. So I think we got one or two spaces in the Netherlands. That's the residential from Thursday, the 4th of May to Sunday, the 7th of May. Residential event. We've got two or three spaces left. If you're interested, go to fatherheart.uk/deeper homecoming or just go to the events page and follow the links. The following weekend, 12th, 13th of May in Gloucester. We got loads of space, plenty of space available. That's non-residential. You can show up for the whole thing Friday evening and Saturday, or you can just show up for the Friday or the Saturday. We'll also be in the church on the Sunday morning in Gloucester. And then we're up in Bridgnorth on Sunday evening with Mike and Sue, Norman and Johanna, and all the folk up there. So come and join us. We'd love to see you. Yes. And what we love about these things is just the opportunity to meet a wider family who have seen us and followed us on these webcasts and the stuff we do online. But to actually meet people in person is always such a treat. And we're really looking forward to that in all of these places that we're going to be. So come and join us if you can. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, so that's for sure.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks. 2 weeks today we meet up. We start on the Thursday, but we'll be getting together in the Netherlands on the Wednesday. Of course, you guys will be jet lagged.
Overnight flight.
But we are looking after you well, Barry, so don't worry.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, we so appreciate Wynette as well and her taking care of us. Well, I might, you know, as what happened last time I was in the Netherlands with you, you know, I might need your help to make some travel decisions, but I'm sure it'll all be good.
I'll be there for you, mate.
Oh, I know you will.
So yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah, so this evening we're just going to have a discussion on breaking the power of shame, which I'm going to kick off just with a few thoughts. And then Barry and I just want to bat this around together. But Barry, do you just want to pray for us before we get going?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks.
Father, we thank you that, just the your desire is to for us to exchange our shame for a double portion of your inheritance.
Yeah.
And so much of our life, Father, has been dealing with shame-based relationships, and whether we didn't do well in school or parents or employers. Father, we just ask, even in this time together, as we just bat this around and talk about just your heart for us, that that you would indeed break the power of shame in any area of our hearts, Father, that we would be able to just be free to be who you created us to be, knowing we're completely and absolutely loved in the authentic person that you destined us to be before the creation of the world when you loved us. And we just pray that even now we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And Father, I pray for Mark as he shares some of these thoughts and kicks off this conversation that, we would just... I just get a sense, even as I'm praying, like it's like a treasure hunt, and there's this big treasure chest, and we're just little boys and little girls opening up this treasure chest and all these amazing gifts from the Father that just bring us total freedom to be who he created us to be. So thank you, Father, in advance. And we just look forward to being changed from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. I'll bring you back in a few minutes.
That's good.
Well, breaking the power of shame. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few weeks. And, you know, inevitably when you think about a topic like this, you can't help but think about your own life and your own walk with Father. And so I've been doing a lot of that for myself. Because I think shame is something that really it affects us all in some way or another, and very often we're not real about it. We don't face it. We live with it, and we learn to live with it, and we don't actually realize we can be free from it. We just think this is the way we are. But you know, I really believe we can be free. And as Barry was saying when he was praying, it's being free so that we can really know who we're meant to be, that we can really step into and live in our true identity as sons and daughters. And shame is the thing that stops us. We'll see that. Shame is the thing that stops us. It prevents us from walking as sons and daughters because we live under this heavy, wet blanket of shame. And we're bogged down and... we're not free. We're not free to be who we're meant to be. And if we can get free from shame, then we can really step into more of the fullness of who we're meant to be as sons and daughters. So I hope today, as we listen to, as we go through this, and as you listen, that the Holy Spirit will really be speaking to you, not to condemn you, but to bring you to a place where you can be free of the shame that you're carrying. That's what I want for me. I want to be free of the shame that I'm carrying around. And I really believe that's what the Father wants for all of us. So this is, you know, today, please don't get into condemnation as I'm talking and as Barry and I are discussing. If something comes up in your life, if something comes up in your heart, Father's revealing it because he wants to set you free. And he wants you to be free so you can live in the fullness of everything he has for you. That's what it's all about. And so that's the joy of where we're going with this topic today. I want to start in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Just at the end of the creation, everything's perfect. Nothing's gone wrong. God the Father has created this beautiful world for us to enjoy. He's made us a home. He's created Adam and his wife, made them in his image, breathed the breath of life into them. And we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, that Adam and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. You see, all was well. Nothing had gone wrong. They were in right relationship with one another. They were in right relationship with their Creator and with their Father. Because nothing had gone wrong, because they were in right relationship, they didn't mind God the Father and one another each other, seeing their nakedness, because they had no reason to hide. They were completely vulnerable. They were completely transparent. Everything was okay. And they could walk in that beautiful openness, that beautiful vulnerability, that beautiful intimacy, because nothing had been spoiled. They were not aware of anything being wrong simply because nothing was wrong. They were content in their true identity as God's son and daughter. And God the Father, you know, he came into the garden in the cool of the day. He walked with them, he talked with them, he met with them, and they had that beautiful oneness with him. There was no need to hide because nothing had gone wrong. And that's, you know, that's the heart of the Father. That's how the Father wants us to see our relationship with him, that there's nothing between us. There's nothing we have to hide from. There's nothing that we have to hide behind, that we can be like Adam and his wife. We can be content with our vulnerability. We can be content with our nakedness, you know, that openness where everything is on show because there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to hide from. That's the relationship the Father wants to restore to us. And as we look at this whole topic of breaking the power of shame, that's the goal, that we are restored back into this beautiful relationship of openness and vulnerability with the Father, where all is well. Now, you know, of course, we start in Genesis 2, verse 25. And then straight afterwards comes Genesis chapter 3. And we know what happened. The serpent comes to the woman and says, "Did God really say?" And Satan sows a question of doubt into their minds. Did God really say? And basically Satan is telling them a lie. He's saying God cannot be trusted. You know, God said, if you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And Satan says, no. You won't die, but you will become like him. See, that was a lie, because we know that death entered the human race. We know that death brought separation in their relationship with the Father. We know that they had been made in his image. They already were like him. And they lost that through that lie of Satan. The lie caused them to doubt the nature and the character of their Father. It was subtle. You know, it was based almost on a series of half-truths. And we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, yeah, 7 or 8 verses after that verse we just looked at the end of chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. And so they made coverings of fig leaves and hid themselves. And we know the story goes on that God the Father comes into the garden and says, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam comes out eventually of his hiding place and he says, "I was afraid, and so I hid." And in those few verses there in Genesis chapter 3, we've got the whole picture, the whole beginning of the power of shame in our lives. You know, their eyes were opened and suddenly they were aware that they had something to hide from. More importantly, they had someone to hide from. You see, suddenly, because of believing that lie, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, they realized that, you know, they were not content anymore with their nakedness. They were not content with that openness. They were not content with that vulnerability. And so they covered themselves with fig leaves. You know, that sin, that lie, had caused them to realize, to look at themselves in a different light, and to believe that God the Father would look at them in a different light as well. And so they chose to hide. They were no longer content with their vulnerability. They were no longer content with their intimacy. And so they hid. They didn't like themselves. Suddenly, their frailty and their human weakness, their fallen human weakness, was on display. And it wasn't very attractive. They'd been happy being seen, but now they couldn't bear it. You see, the fruit of the lie, and this is where shame gets a hold of us, the fruit of the lie goes beyond doing something wrong. The fruit of the lie made them believe that they were wrong. And that's the difference between guilt and shame. When we feel guilty, we are aware that we have done something. It's an action. It's external, and we believe we can put it right. You know, I am guilty of doing something wrong. It's an action. It's something we've done. But shame goes much further than that. Shame is much more internal. And shame says, not only have I done something wrong, but shame says, I am wrong. And we believe a lie about ourselves, which is a very, very strong internal emotion and feeling. And we believe intrinsically that we are a bad person. You know, we haven't just done something wrong, but we believe that we are bad. That's what shame does, is it distorts the lie and it makes the lie very, very personal so that we believe that we are a bad person. We lose our original identity as sons and daughters, and we become aware of our fallenness, our brokenness. We become aware of the wrongness. And so we try and cover ourselves like Adam and his wife did with fig leaves. You know, we don't want to be seen. We're no longer content with that vulnerability. And we don't want to be seen by one another, and we don't want to be seen by God. And suddenly, everything is not well. You know, at the end of chapter 2, everything was okay. There was no need to fear anything because nothing had gone wrong. But now, it's all gone wrong. And Adam and his wife have gone off and hid. And when God comes in the garden, Genesis 3 verse 10, the man says, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. I was afraid of my vulnerability. I was afraid of what you would see in me. And so I hid. And the first thing I want to say about shame is shame always causes fear. You know, before the fall, Adam and his wife, they were naked and no shame. And now they are aware of what's gone wrong. And that causes fear. They were afraid. See, fear believes that we will be punished. 1 John 4, verse 18. Perfect love casts out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. See, when we live in love, we have no need to fear because love drives out fear. But when we live in fear, we believe that being wrong, being wrong will cause us to be rejected. And so there's this fear of being rejected, so we hide. Like Adam and his wife, they went and hid. You know, they covered themselves with fig leaves, they hid their true identity, and then they went and hid in the garden away from their father. You see, what they're trying to do is they are trying to control their lives. And that's what we do. When we live in shame, we try to control our life. We try and take matters into our own hand. We think we will protect ourselves. We think that our fig leaves, be it work, church, ministry, all these other things, we think that those fig leaves will hide us, and we play a game to maintain that hiddenness because we don't want our true self to be seen. So we end up falling into this cycle of fear, being hidden and taking, controlling our own life, trying to protect ourselves. We have this attitude, I think, if I can control my life and I can control my environment, no one will know and no one will see that I am wrong. No one will ever know. That's what we're trying to do. You see, shame has told us the lie that we are no good, that we are wrong, that we are a bad person. And that's the last thing we want anybody to see. So we try and control our life to project a false image of everything being okay, when of course it isn't. You know, we become uncomfortable with vulnerability and openness, and so we end up hiding. And we end up in this exhausting cycle of shame, which is shame leading to fear, fear leading to hiding away leading to control. And so we have this cycle of shame, fear, and control. And it's a game. And it's a game we all play. And even as I've been looking at this over the last few weeks, it's a game I play. Because I believe we all suffer from shame. And the Father wants to break the power of that shame in our life so we can live in our new identity rather than the false identity that we've created for ourselves. So Adam and his wife believed a lie. I just want to look very briefly at how that lie can work in our lives, because, you know, very often it's subtle. It's very often a series of subtle questions about ourselves that take us down a slippery slope from believing or knowing we've done something wrong to believing that we are wrong. And these lies speak to our heart and they take us down into the pit, and we stop believing that we've just done something wrong and we start believing that we are wrong. And when we believe that we are wrong, we are living under this blanket of shame. So the lie works a little bit like this, and you'll probably recognize it. You know, you know what you hear, that you know the lies that we listen to. We all listen to them. You know, and very often the first one is, you know, when we do something wrong or when we mess up again, you know, the very often the first lie is, oh, why did you do that again? You know, just a little quiet voice. Why did you do that again? And then it goes, there you go again. Told you so. You did it again. You're not very good, are you, really? You failed. You are a failure. You see, Satan tells us those lies subtly, ramping them up each time. We end up with that final one. You are a failure. And we believe it because what we did, the action that we did wrong, is converted into a negative belief about ourselves. And we end up being wrapped up in shame. And there are many triggers that cause this lie or this sequence of lies to take a hold of our heart. Things like trauma, generational problems, burdens that we carry, national identity, you know, national characteristics that we take on to ourselves, rejection, childhood jokes, failing to meet expectations, you know, being made the scapegoat for things, our belief about ourselves, abuse, neglect, you know, even the lie that we believe about the sins of our fathers that comes onto us. You know, maybe our failed dreams, our failed careers, bankruptcy, our physical looks. You know, we all believe the lies, and the lies get a hook into us very often through many of those different things. And they build on each other. And that's why we believe that all is not well. And our conclusion is, all is not well, therefore I am wrong. And shame has come upon us, and we're living under this blanket of shame, believing that we are wrong. You know, what started as doing things wrong or lies that we believed become a belief about ourselves. I am wrong. Therefore, I will hide away because I'm frightened, and I will control my life to try and project a good image of me so everybody thinks I'm wonderful, when I know really I'm not. When I know in my heart, when I believe in my heart that I'm a failure. And so shame grips us. And you can probably recognize that in your own life. But you see, we live with this struggle. And because we live in fear, we ask ourselves questions about ourselves. You know, what will other people think of me? How will people react to me? You know, what if other people find out what I'm really like? You know, I will be punished. I will be rejected. I'm no good. And fear paralyzes us. It locks us into this cycle where we feel absolutely paralyzed and we do not believe there's any way out of it. And we play a game. We try to play a game to make ourselves look good, but it's exhausting because what we're trying to do is control the uncontrollable. You know, like fig leaves, it's high maintenance. You know, fig leaves are pretty rubbish for making clothing out of. They're very dry, they're very brittle, and you need to replace them two or three times a day because they really don't do the job. You know, I often say that banana leaves would have been better, but fig leaves really don't do the job. They're high maintenance. And when we live under shame, the game we play is high maintenance, because we're continually trying to control our environment because we don't want to let ourselves be seen for who we believe we've become. We can't show our true self because we believe it is bad and wrong. And so we build a wall around our heart. We become independent. And shame makes us feel inadequate and insignificant. And that's shame, you know, in a nutshell, that's what shame does. But we're not leaving it there, because the topic of today is being free from the power of shame. And I want to give you hope, because we might feel as if it's not good, if all is not well. But redemption and restoration is what our Father does brilliantly. And he always has a way of restoration. He always has a way of redemption for each one of us, to bring us out of this shame into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the truth. And if you are suffering and feeling the weight of shame, I want to encourage you to read that verse over and over again and speak it to yourself, speak it to your heart. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And you and I, we're in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. That's our position in him. And, you know, one of the important things for us as we deal with shame is to acknowledge the fact that we've believed a lie. And the way through that is to face that lie with godly sorrow and godly grief, because that leads us to repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. You know, godly sorrow brings us to repentance. And we have to acknowledge the fact that we have believed a lie, and acknowledge that we believed a lie, probably knowingly, albeit subtly. And so we acknowledge that and we come to a place of repentance. And that's not a word we like to bandy around very often, but I believe it's a key for us being free, is to acknowledge, even if we're living under a cloud of shame that has been put upon us by our parents or our teachers or through a whole lot of circumstances that may have happened years ago, the fact is we've believed a lie. We may have believed that lie when we were 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, but we've believed a lie. And as we acknowledge that, that's, I believe, the first step, and come in a place with godly sorrow in our heart, that leads us to a place of repentance. And as you know, repentance, as we've often said here, repentance is basically turning around and walking in the other direction. You know, we're walking one way and we turn around and we walk the other way. So repentance is basically saying, I have been walking this way, believing a lie, and I choose to stop walking in that direction and I choose to walk in this direction. That's the first, I believe that's a starting point for all of us. Because as we recognize that the inner attitude is a lie and we bring it into the light, we bring it into the truth of the light of the Word of God and the truth of the light of the Spirit of God, and we bring that shame to the cross and believe that our shame was dealt with on the cross, that's when we can begin to walk away and leave the lie behind. Now, I'm making it sound very simplistic, and I know for many of us it's more of a challenge, because the walking away, when we've lived with a lie for a long time, we become conditioned by it. And when we choose to walk in a different way, we're choosing to live by a different spirit. We're choosing to live by a different mindset. And this lie has gripped us and had a hold on us, maybe for many years. And so I know the challenge of saying goodbye to that lie and walking in this direction is sometimes maybe more complex and longer than I'm making it sound in talking about it. But it's the pathway of redemption. And the good thing is we don't do it on our own. We do it because our Father is with us. And we do it because we see that our true identity is in Him. We do it because we cannot do this until we begin to know we're loved by the Father. Until we begin to experience the Father pouring His love in our heart. Because as He pours His love into our heart, it strengthens our heart to say no to the lie and yes to the belief of our true identity of who we are as sons and daughters. So if you are feeling that weight of shame upon you, I want to encourage you to own the lie that you've believed. Repent of it and walk into freedom. Believe what the Father believes about you. And see that your control is a cover or a pretense. And let the walls come down once again so that you don't mind being seen as you are, because God the Father accepts you. And so I want to bring Barry back in just now and really just to sort of unpack this, because, I believe that when we turn away from the direction we've been walking in and we begin to walk in the truth of who the Father says we are, then we find freedom. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want freedom. And it starts with recognizing and repenting, but it also starts with having an open heart to receive love. Because as we receive love, when we receive the Father's perfect love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that assurance of being love sets us on the pathway to our freedom. So, Barry, come and add your words of wisdom, my friend.
Awesome, my brother. I'd say yes and amen to everything you said. I think shame is is something that, of course, when you said, causes us to run and hide, right? And it tries to shut us down. And again, it's the idea of our core identity, and it's not what we do, but it's who we are. And that's what I think we've all struggled with that. I know when growing up for me with wanting to please my father, even on the judo mat, for instance, you know, when I'd lose a fight and you'd feel like I let my dad down, if you're not achieving, if you're not performing, then that's when shame comes, right? Because all of a sudden your identity is so connected with a perceived idea of what is right or who you should be. And so I certainly battled shame. I have battled shame in, of course, it's a bit of a continuum at times, right? But yeah. I remember one time that I received prayer ministry, and I actually didn't even know it at the time, but I was dealing with shame. And in the core lie was, I'm not enough. Mm. And I'm a disappointment.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that. I just, of course, you have this engine that keeps you in the pursuit of achieving. Mm. And I didn't even know the very basis of that achievement in the pursuit was because I felt like I was never enough the way I was. And the thing that was amazing in that time, and it wasn't, you know, something like a big heavenly vision, but in my spirit, when I was ministered to on that, I don't know if anybody's ever seen The Lion King. Mm. Certainly that when our kids were younger, the cartoon version. And in that, for those who haven't seen it, it's, you know, of course, a story of an alpha male lion. And he's at one point, he is actually displaying his newborn son to the kingdom. And so, you know, oftentimes as parents, we would lift up a child and look at them in their eyes. But in this actual scene in the movie, the child was turned outward. Mm-hmm. And so the father was so delighted with his little lion cub that he was just showing him off to the whole kingdom. And in that time that I was received this ministry, I actually had this picture that the father was taking me, this little boy who struggled to feel value. And he was like displaying me mm-hmm. outward, showing me to his kingdom. And there was just something, again, when you talked about this idea that, you know, fear is connected with this idea of shame, and of course how perfect love casts out fear. And it's like when it's not us dealing with it ourselves in the sense of it's like just receiving love, and love deals with it, right? And one of the things that you said that I thought was really important, you know, and of course it's this, you know, that the word repentance, the Greek word is metanoia, which means to really have this about face, this mm-hmm. this metamorphosis in our understanding, right? And of course, that's when Romans 12:2 says that we're not to be conformed to this world any longer, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that word transformed is that metamorphosis. And that's mm-hmm. kind of the going from the caterpillar to the butterfly, right? And the truth is, shame tells us we're the caterpillar.
Yeah.
But the father's love says, no, you're my butterfly, if that makes any sense. And and I think one of the really practical things, I remember reading Brennan Manning, if anybody's heard of Brennan Manning, an amazing author, amazing revelation of the fatherhood of God, Catholic priest. And I can remember him saying, and this isn't an exact quote, but he said, oftentimes we will think thoughts about ourselves, negative thoughts, that we would never think about other people.
Yeah.
But we give permission for us to beat ourselves up in ways that we would never, we'd be horrified to think about thinking that about other people. So one of the things I think is a very practical thing is if we are having those negative thoughts, those condemning thoughts, you know, just to ask yourself, would you give yourself permission to think about other people with the same thoughts? And of course, the answer is, of course not. Well, then we ought not to, you know, agree with that ourselves, right? And I know, and I think I've mentioned this before, probably many times, that when there, you know, in the past, when there has been those moments when kind of maybe a criticism on the internet or something kind of gets mm-hmm. through the armor, and it really hurts, you know, it's like, I feel that instead of listening to it and dwelling on it and agreeing mm-hmm. with it, the best thing for me to do, and I'm not saying I don't always do, sometimes I do listen and dwell and agree with it way too much than I should, but it's when I come to Papa and I say, Papa, can you tell me who I am?
Yeah.
And it's like just being able to recenter to hear him say how much he loves me. And mm-hmm. I really believe, like what you said, the shame is this incredible, it imprisons us,
yeah,
right? In because we're afraid, and we're it's not, like you said, it's not even about something we've done wrong, it's like who we are. And I just believe that, you know, I was just looking for the scripture, I couldn't find it, or actually, it was Romans 10:11. He who believes in upon him, Jesus, will not be put to shame,
yeah.
And I think here's, you know, the idea that we have, just like the prodigal son, right? When he was mm-hmm. on his way home, you know, he had this script that he made up, and he was going to, you know, say to his father that he's no longer worthy to be a son, let me serve. And he was kind of bracing himself for maybe that shameful response that, you know, mm-hmm. shame on you, as we were told as kids oftentimes. And what did the father do? He wouldn't even let him finish, and he just fell upon him, and he couldn't stop kissing him. And he honored him with a ring of authority and his royal robes to cover the dirt and the stench of his garments and sandals for his feet. And I truly believe if any of us feel that we're bracing ourselves for that similar response that maybe we've had with our own parents or employers or school teachers or the things that have caused trauma in our life, I truly believe that we are totally in for a glorious surprise when we realize how the Father actually responds to us, not as if other people have. And so I think that can be, when you're talking about that repentance, that metanoia of saying, you know, that's not the truth. And to me, if you need to, or if I need to ask the Father to tell me who I am 20 times a day, then do it. To say, Father, would you just recenter me into who I really am? And of course, Scripture can really help with that too. Yes. As like you've said, is, you know, declaring, you know, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are not under any condemnation. And of course, conviction is different. Conviction leads to remedy immediately in love, where condemnation makes a statement about who we are, full stop, without any remedy. So right on, bro. It's amazing.
Yeah, and just going back to The Lion King, Barry, towards the end of the movie, Simba, the young lion who's been shown off at the beginning, this is my son, yay! You know, he's a bit like the prodigal son. Yeah. He goes off on his own, and in the end, the monkey brings him back to the truth and takes him to this pool of water. And he stirs the pool of water, and he sees an image of his father in this water. And his father says, remember who you are. Yeah. Remember who you are. You see, here's this guy, the prodigal, you know, full of shame. You know, he's not come up to the mark, he's failed. And he thinks he's no good. This little lion thinks he's no good. But the father says to him, remember who you are. And then he says this, he says, you are more than you've become. And I think that's a really powerful sentence. You know, that's what the Father says to us. You are more than what you've become. You see, when we believe the lie of shame, we become this diminished person. We don't live in our true identity. We don't live in the fullness of everything that God has for us. And what he says to us is, remember who you are. You are my son. You know, you are my daughter. You are more than you've become. You know, and it's that sentence that turns the young lion, Simba, isn't it? It turns him round, and he runs back to deal and face his past, to deal with his past. And, you know, he finds freedom because he's heard those words, you are more than you've become. And that's the thing about shame. Shame wants to keep us in a prison. But there's more. The Father says to each one of us, there is more. You are more. You are more than you've become. See, it's where Barry started when he prayed at the beginning. You know, we are sons and daughters. And the Father wants to bring us back into the fullness of our true identity. You know, John 16, verse 27, the Father himself loves you. Yeah. The Father himself is loving you right now.
Yeah.
You know, just say that, the Father's loving me. The Father's loving me. You know, that's the truth. Speak those words to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the last words Jesus said in John 17, before he went to the cross, you know, Father, I want them to know that they're loved just like you love me. You know, walk around your house saying that. Father, you love me just like you love Jesus. I'll tell you what, it does you a lot of good. You know, you start to feel, you start to believe who you are. You start to believe that you're loved and live in love.
I think of that scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar. And and basically what it's saying is that we to be able, and my understanding anyway, is that in comparison to God's truth and when he says something, it is the truth and it's eternal and we can take it to the bank. You know, our feelings lie, our culture lies, our actions lie, all kinds of things in our life are deceptions, right? And I really believe that the Father wants us to come back to that place where, Father, you tell me who I am. I will believe it. I will declare it. You know. Even it's like, even the man who wanted to, Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And he goes, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." So even if it's like, "Lord, I believe this, but I don't believe it. Help my areas I don't believe it." And I just believe that the Father, he just so wants us to believe this, and so wants us to be rooted and grounded in his love and his care, and that we would not, Jesus talked about the father of lies, that says that when he lies, John 8, 41 to 44, he said, when he lies, he speaks his native language. Mm-hmm. And he will continually try to twist and distort our who we really are, like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Yeah. It just... Yeah. You know, did God really say? And I truly believe, and one of the things I had the sense, we have, Mark and I both have spectacular grandchildren. And I just remember, especially when the little ones were just in diapers and, and mom's trying to change the diaper, then all of a sudden that little one breaks free of the diaper and just starts running around the house. And they're oblivious to anything.
Yeah.
And again, there's that naked and unashamed. And I believe that, and maybe somebody's listening today and maybe like me, because I've struggled with this, a self-consciousness that you feel like you're comparing yourself to other people, you're measuring yourself and always feeling wanting. I just believe that the Father wants to come by his Holy Spirit, and he wants to just give us this glorious, lack of this, this awareness of our nakedness, and knowing that, of course, that I even, the idea that when Adam and Eve had these fig leaves, and of course, it was a poor covering. The Father, in his love, provided animal skins. It was just because, and again, he could have, said, "Shame on you for trying this," but he was compassionate. Mm-hmm. And his heart went out to them. And I just believe that no matter what we're struggling with, and you said it earlier, Mark, that just the idea that there's no condemnation, there's no shame. We all struggle with it. This is, this is part of the human condition, but the Father wants to, instead of our shame, as I said in Isaiah 61, verse 7, my people can receive a double portion of their inheritance. And the double portion in the family is the firstborn inheritance, and that is our big brother. And can you imagine, think about this for a second. If we could do an exchange, because this is in exchange for your shame, they will receive a double portion. Could we dare to give the Father our shame and get back a double portion of our inheritance? That's a pretty good deal, I think.
It is, yeah. Let's just pray.
Yeah.
Let's just ask the Father to break the power of shame in our lives.
Yeah.
And, Barry, maybe you just want to pray that we receive that double portion. Because that's... That's what we want, eh? We want that double portion.
So, Father, I just want to put it in my own heart. Father, we just thank you that your kingdom is upside down to the world kingdom.
Yeah.
It's really right side up. And you have deliberately chosen the weak things of this world to confound the strong, the poor things, to confound the rich, the foolish things, to confound the wise. And Father, that means that we're included, that we're not one person is left out. And so, Father, would even this revelation of instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion of their inheritance. Father, could we dare today to make that exchange, to give you anything that causes us to be afraid or to hide or to feel less than who you created us to be. I just encourage you, if there's anything that comes to your mind as you're to say, Father, I just give this to you. I give you this struggle. And in exchange, Father, I just think of even the prodigal son, that would you just wrap your robe of royalty around me? Would you put your ring of authority on my hand? And would you just give me sandals for my road weary bare feet. Sandals of sonship. So Father, we do this by faith, but even in our faith, we know that when we're faithless, you remain faithful, because you cannot deny yourself. And so Father, we come with just that trusting, knowing that you will do more for us than we could ever ask for, hope, or imagine.
Wow. Can I just encourage you just to, you know, just in these few moments where you know you've believed a lie that has led to you believing that not only have you done something wrong, but you are somebody wrong. Can I just encourage you just to acknowledge those lies and repent before the Father, just not in any guilt, not in any condemnation, but just to acknowledge that belief of a lie which has led to the shame just coming upon you. Just acknowledge that and just now in your heart decide to choose to walk in a different direction, the pathway of freedom. Father, we thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. And whereas shame makes us afraid, whereas shame makes us hide in our fear, whereas shame makes us comfortable with fear, Father, I just pray, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, you would pour your love into our hearts, that we would know that we're loved, irrespective of what we've done or what we believe about ourselves, we would know that we're loved. Father, I pray for that revelation of love to be downloaded into our hearts. So that we believe that you, Almighty God, just happen to be our Papa. And you're loving us right now. And that love drives that fear away. And we don't have to hide. We can come out into the open and say, I am loved. I am loved. Father, pour your love into our hearts. Set us free from this power of shame that has so easily grips us. That we would believe, like little Simba in The Lion King, that we are more than we've become. That we are more than we've become because we're your sons, we're your daughters. You've redeemed us. You've restored us. We really want to remember tonight, Father, in our spirit, who we really are. Thank you, Father. Father, just encourage us to live in the freedom that the Father's bringing to us. You know, what we've talked about tonight is a huge, huge thing. And sometimes that journey out of shame is just that, it's a journey. You know, and I just want to encourage you to stick with what you've heard, stick with what the Father said, stick with what you believe the Father is saying about you. And just allow your heart to walk in a different direction. The direction of truth. Remember who you are. So thank you. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Barry. We'll be back next week. But the week after that, 2 weeks time, we won't be doing a webcast because we'll be getting ready for our weekend in the Netherlands. But come and join us next Wednesday, same time, same place. Thank you all very much.
Bless you, everyone.